Father, thank you for this day and for this time and for this place. Thank you for Scripture. Thank you for the promises, Lord, that are contained in your word. Great, marvelous, unplumbed promises, Lord. I pray that we would be a group that take hold of what's been given to us, that we would walk in it, dwell in it, be empowered by your promises. Be here, we ask, Lord. Minister, plant, water, increase us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Grab your Bible, 2 Corinthians 9. If you're hot, you can move to the shade. Anytime, don't pass out. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. It says this, 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Guess what we're going to talk about today? You're going, I just got my husband here for the first time. My neighbor finally came. You're not going to do this, are you? Oh, I know most of you woke up this morning. You said, I would like to have a message on giving or hell. One of the two. It's exactly what I want to hear about. Giving can be a very uncomfortable subject because it's been abused. But let me tell you, I have not given a giving message, and we're almost 4 years old. So in 4 years at Edgewater Christian Fellowship, I've not given a message on giving. But here's what we do. We have a system where on Wednesdays we go through the Bible. We just teach through it. Started in the Gospel of John, taught through that, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, now we're in 2 Corinthians. On Sundays, what we do is we take a verse or a topic from Wednesdays through the Bible teaching and look at it a little bit deeper. Well, where we're at in 2 Corinthians, chapters 8 and 9, guess what they're all about? Giving. I don't have a choice. I am hemmed in. Trust me, I tried to find a different subject. But it's giving. These two chapters, it's all giving. It's the longest section in the Bible, in the New Testament, I should say, on giving. So I kind of have no choice. So we're going to talk about giving. Secondly, it's this. The Bible talks a lot about giving. It just does. Someone has said 20% of the Bible talks about giving. So my job as a pastor, even if something's uncomfortable or even if something is not socially acceptable, my job as a pastor is to give you the full counsel of God, even if people don't like it, even if it doesn't seem to fit with our culture or people might be offended by it. Because ultimately, here's the deal. I am more afraid of being obedient to Jesus than I am of being the pastor of a small church. So I'm going to say what I'm going to say. Giving. So we're talking giving this morning. We're going to talk about three things. What is giving? Number one. Number two, how we're to give. And number three, why we give. So first of all, what is giving? The two chapters, this verse says this, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. So if we're to give, what does it mean to give? Because giving is not lending, it's not buying, it's not paying. And the reason why I say that is this. I'll talk to people from time to time who I think don't understand giving. Because they'll say things like this. I'm never going to give to that person again because they fill in the blank. Didn't spend the money like I wanted them to. Weren't as appreciative to me like I thought they should. Didn't act the way I wanted them to act after I gave it. Okay? If you say that, you didn't actually give them something. You paid them. Or you tried to buy behavior from them. That's ultimately what you did. Because giving is this. It means you lose control of whatever you gave. The money, the item, I no longer control it. I don't get anything back from it. I gave it. It belongs to you. No strings attached. Anything other than that is paying, lending, buying. Now, that's hard. I'll admit that. That's very hard. I can remember the first time that I really felt God impress on my heart, give. I was 17 years old. Now, you may think that was last year, but it was actually 1989. And I was driving to Fred Meyer, and I was on 7th Street, going up 7th Street, and I was going by Safeway. And in 1989 in Grants Pass, I had never seen this before. When I went by the corner there of 7th and G, I looked over and I saw a man with a sign that said, need help, hungry. And he's standing there with this sign. Beside him were these two little kids, just unimaginably grubby little kids. And I went by and I saw that. I'd never seen that before. Probably common in Southern California, but not up here yet. And I just, something sunk in my heart. And I felt like, I need to give this man some money. I must give him some money. I'm not rich at the time. I'm working part-time at Fred Meyer. I'm making $3.35 an hour. I had $5 to my name. And that was for dinner that night. I was going to work. I had some errands to run. Then I was heading out to Fred Meyer to work a 7-hour shift. So I had $5 to eat dinner. But I just felt, I must give him this $5. So I circled around the block, came back around, parked my little Volkswagen Rabbit, got out of it, walked over to him, and he's on the corner. And, you know, you're 17, and things, you just don't quite have the social skills. So I'm like, hey, bro, hey, mister, like, you know, I saw your sign, and I kind of figured, like, maybe you might, like, need some money. So, like, I've got $5, so I just want to give you $5. And the guy's like, thank you. And I was like, God bless you. And I walked away from there, and I was just like, yes, I just wanted to hug that guy. I'm like, I just want to hug you right now. I thought, this is his big break. This is what he needs. This $5 is going to get him out of his hole right now. Like, he might be able to bathe his children. Praise God. And so I am on a cloud. I get back in my little Volkswagen Rabbit, and I am just like, I felt so good. Like, yes, yes, loved it. Well, I run my errands, and then I'm heading out F Street, out to Fred Meyer, and I'm driving along F Street in my little Volkswagen Rabbit, just as happy as a teenager can be, you know, which sometimes can't be very happy, but this time I'm very happy. I'm happy. And I'm just like, yeah, listening to my little radio and driving along in my Volkswagen, doing whatever 20 miles per hour, whatever it'll do. Up pulls next to me this big blue, like, La Bamba car. And I look over. It's the dude I gave the $5 to. I'm like, huh? He has a car? He has a car, and his car's better than mine. And then sitting next to him was a gal. And then sitting in the back were two other adults. And the kids, you know how those old La Bamba cars had that big area beneath the rear windshield? The kids were, like, stuffed back in there. And it goes by me. On the back of his windshield, it said, Grateful Dead. Then underneath it said, 219 shows and counting, heading to Eugene. And I just went, what? I will show you, Gratefully Dead. And I floored that little Volkswagen. I'm going to catch you. But he drove a real car, and they just disappeared into the night. And I went to work that night, and I was angry. Hungry and angry. I regretted giving that money to that man. I regretted it. You ever regret giving money to somebody? Here's how we're to give. Let me read for you how God gives. He's the example of how we're to give. Let me read for you. It's Romans 11, 28 and 29. It says this. And I don't have time to go into what's being spoken about here, but it's some people that were adamantly against God's people and God's plan. Listen to what it says about them. Romans 11, 28. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. They're against the gospel. These are not good people. But listen. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Verse 29 is a key. Says this. This is how God gives. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. What does that mean? It means God never regrets giving talents or gifts to people, even though they might use them against the very gospel God created. That's what he's saying. God's not up there. Why did I give that guy that talent? Why did I give him that money? Why did I give him that business? God never does that. He gives, God gives, Romans 11, and he never, ever regrets it. There are no strings attached. God is an extravagant giver. That's what he does. He never regrets when he gives something to somebody, a calling, a gifting, an ability, finances. God never regrets it. Even if they waste it and use it against him, he never regrets it. That's how we're to give. That is true giving. It's, I have given it to you. I no longer control it. I'm not expecting anything in return from it, because that would be buying something. I'm giving it to you. But wait a second, Matt. Won't people use you? Won't they abuse that? Here's what I'm convinced of. If God lays something on your heart to give, to help, to serve, and you respond, they cannot use you. God will always use that for his kingdom, for his glory. I am absolutely convinced of that. Let me give you the best example I have of it. About 2 years ago, there was a gal that came into our office, single gal, had kids, financially in desperate situations. So the guys just, we rallied around her, helped her out, paid her rent, bought groceries from her, paid off some debts. We just absolutely went the extra mile for this gal because she's a single mom, kids. And we have policies at our office. We try to keep from being abused, but certain situations, we're just going to give and help. Well, after we'd done all this help for her and got her settled and did all this stuff for her, she just disappears, just gone. So you can feel a little used by that. Well, 3 months later, she has to go to court and go before a judge for something. So I hear about that, and I go down there to get our money back. No. She goes before this judge. She begins to talk to the judge. And the judge is wondering, what have you done for the last 3 months to make money? He's wondering, have you been involved in illegal activity? So he starts to question her, what's going on? And she says, well, actually, this church called Edgewater Christian Fellowship kind of paid for my bills and helped me out and has done a bunch of stuff for me. And he really began to question her on this thing, Edgewater. Well, he gets done with that appointment or that meeting. He goes back into his chambers, calls up Edgewater, dials the phone number, talks to us, and he says this, I've heard over and over in my courtroom that you're a church that helps people. Praise God for that. And then he said this. He said, I have a son that has issues and problems. Will you guys help him? And we said, absolutely. And when you start hearing stories like that, you start knowing, God, we can't be used. You cannot use me, because God is ultimately going to use that for his kingdom and to build it. If we're giving like God gives, no strings attached, no regret, then I believe, I am convinced God's going to use it for his kingdom. He is going to use it. God snuck us in, Edgewater Christian Fellowship, snuck us in to a place that normally pastors don't get to, right? If pastors are getting into the courtroom, you're either in the wrong profession. Or you own a very fast motorcycle. Right, Mark? Where are you at, Mark? I'm kidding with Mark. I am more guilty than Mark. I got away. He got caught. So there you have it. God snuck us in. Here. I want to do something, Matt. So give extravagantly. Give extravagantly. You cannot be used. Jesus says this. He says, when you give, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give in such a way that you don't even know it. You never keep record of it. You never bring it back up to that person. Well, remember when? Because you didn't really give it to him then. It says, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give that way. That's how God gives. No repentance, no strings, no regrets, never brings it up, never uses it to beat us back down. Well, remember what I did this for you. No. Giving is no strings attached. Unrepentant, no regret. I gave it. I don't control it. I never use it again against you. That's giving. It's a great witness of what Jesus has done for us. So that's the definition of giving. Now we get to how to give. And in this verse, I see two ways you should not give, and I see two ways that you're supposed to give. So how to give? First, we'll talk about how we're not to give. And here's what made me sad studying through this verse. Because the two ways we're not supposed to give, I watch TV evangelists for sometimes, and I don't know why I do it, because you can ask my wife, like, there are times I'm just like ranting. I'm like, what? Oh! So, like, the two ways it says you're not to give are the two ways I hear all the time. And it's just a little bit sad. And sometimes I hear us ridiculed on whatever comedians, and I think, well, we kind of deserve it. If we're putting that out there, we kind of deserve it. Because God says, don't do this, and we do it that way. So maybe we deserve it. So two ways we're not to give. First way, it says this. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. Now that Greek word there could also be translated reluctantly. But literally the Greek word means this, out of grief. Do not give grudgingly. Do not give out of grief. So it's like this. Good grief. Is he going to go on and on about this? I'll give you money if you'll just be quiet. That's the idea. Would you stop already? I don't want to, but I'm going to because you keep going on and on and on. Here's the deal. If you don't want to give, don't. If you don't want to give, don't do it. Don't give. Don't give. Because what it's going to lead to is whining and griping and complaining and wondering, why did I do that later? So don't give. Because ultimately, God doesn't need our money. Do you know that? Psalm 50, God talks about this. Talks about receiving offerings and tithes. He says this to the nation of Israel. He says this. Listen, I don't need your offerings. I don't need your tithes. God says this. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Now that analogy there kind of gets lost on us because you know what? Most of us don't own cows anymore, right? If we get a cow, it's because we're trying to get out of paying taxes on our land, right? It's farmland, bro. Look at the cow. See? That's why we do it. So the analogy gets lost, but on a culture where everyone was farmers or ranchers, they understood because that was the original stock market. How many cows do you have? Well, you've got the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's tens of thousands of cows. God's saying, I don't need your help. I don't need your money. Then the next verse, he says this. If I'm hungry, I'm not going to ask you. If God's hungry, you're not going to find him at midnight in your fridge rustling around. Like, I heard your wife was a good cook. Where's all the food, bro? You ate it? Glutton, hell for you, pal. God's not going to tell us when he's hungry. God doesn't need our stuff. Ultimately, that's what's being said. So pastors say, give till it hurts. I say, don't give if it hurts. Don't do it. God doesn't want it. God doesn't want that kind of mentality. Because if you give till it hurts, then we get your pain. The church gets your pain then. That's what ends up happening. Don't give. The Bible says, do not give grudgingly. Don't do it. Second way we're not to give, it says this. Do not give grudgingly or of necessity. All right, this word necessity, it's very hard to translate from the Greek, the original language of the New Testament, into English. It's made up of two words. The first word means this, intense or repetitive. The second word means this, to bend, ache, or twist your arm. Interesting. Put that together, it means this. Don't give because of repeated, intense arm twisting. I read that and I just went, do these pastors read their Bible? Do they? Because I hear so much repeated arm twisting to get people to give. God says, don't give that way with repeated arm twisting. And I grew up in a church like this. I went to a very charismatic church growing up. And I can remember, I remember this like it was yesterday. There was this guy that kind of came into our church, and he was an outsider. He was a traveling healer, evangelist, preacher guy like they have. He came in, and the first thing we did was take an offering. That was the first thing, take an offering. And then we kind of did some worship. And then he did this healing where people were getting healed, and they're coming up and being prayed for. And there's a guy I'd never seen before. He had a short leg. And so he comes up, and he's kind of hobbling up on his short leg, and he sits him down, and there's prayer. And you know how you can kind of make yourself, with the short leg? All of a sudden, that leg grows, and he's like, praise God, let's take another offering. I'm thinking, huh? As an 8-year-old, I'm going, what? But I'll tell you what, I thought as an 8-year-old, that looks like a great gig, so here I am today. Any short legs out there? We can take another offering right now. So there's this way of manipulating people and like putting things together and trying to get more money from people. And the Bible says, don't give that way. Don't give that way. Don't give out of necessity. Arm twisting. Don't give that way. If you're around in the church about 20 years ago, perhaps you remember Oral Roberts. When he, in 1987, got on his program and said, if you don't contribute $8 million to my City of Faith ministry, God's going to kill me. Remember that? And so he went on and on. You know, this went on for about 3 months. He'd keep coming on. Last minute, like a day before he's supposed to die, somebody contributes like $9 million and it seems like it's okay. Here's what's sad about that. That ministry, City of Faith, 6 months later went bankrupt. So that $8 million that was given to that ministry to keep it afloat and because God wanted to do great things in it, really wasted money. Because here's the deal. If people are begging and saying, if you don't give to this ministry, it's going to die. You know what? Maybe it should. Maybe God's moved on. And maybe that ministry has finished its course. And maybe it's time to just let it die. Because I firmly believe this. Where God guides, God provides. If God is guiding you, and this is the ministry he's into, then he's going to provide. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's not broke. He's not broke. So to me, when I look at those two things, when there's arm twisting and grudging and harsh trips put on people, to me, it demonstrates a lack of faith in God's spirit to move his people the way he wants to move them. So God says, don't give these two ways, grudgingly or of necessity. And then he says, God's word says, here's two ways you're supposed to give. Number one, every man is to give according as he purposes in his heart. You know what that means? When you give to God, it's a private affair. It's between you and God alone. God ministers to you, puts something on your heart, and you respond to it, and it's between you and God. It's private. I've watched on TV this one guy, I actually like him, but it cracks me up. During the sermon, people do this. They stand up and they will pull out of their wallet $100 bills. And they will come down to that stage and they'll take that $100 bill and be like, woo! And they will lay that down on the stage and be like, yeah! And walk off. Like, look at me and my Benny giving it to Pastor so-and-so. Now, I have honestly entertained that idea. But this is Southern Oregon, and I think all I get is like pennies thrown at me. There you go. Take my Lincoln. That's all I get. So we don't do it. But it's supposed to be private. It's not to be, hey, look at what I'm doing right here. Woo. Set it down. No. It is a private affair between you and God. So at Edgewater, none of the pastors know what you give. I don't know what you give. We do not. It's private. It's between you and God. So the pastors, we absolutely know nothing because it says it's private. It's in your heart. On top of that, I don't want it to affect me. So if someone's a big giver, be like, praise God you're here today. Woo! Doorkeepers, wherever he sits, pass it twice. Ching, like that. Just shh. No. Or if it's someone that doesn't give, like cheapskate, talk to the hand till you put something in it, and then we can talk. I don't want any of that to happen because it's private. It says, as you purpose in your heart, it's between you and God. So it's private. And then secondly, it says this, for God loves a cheerful giver. The second way we're to give is cheerfully. The Greek word cheerful there, you know what it means? It's hilarion, which from where we get our word hilarious. So giving is to be hilarious. It's to be, wow, I get to give. Your most favorite time of the service is the offering time. Yes, You're giggling away, writing out your check. Yoo-hoo-hoo! And it's not because it's going to bounce. Like, I'll throw another zero on there. Two zeros, doesn't matter. It will bounce. No. It's to be hilarious. Now, I've met a lot of hilarious receivers, but not as many hilarious givers. The Bible says, be hilarious givers, because God loves a cheerful giver. God loves it. So how do we give? It's private, and it should be cheerful. So what does that mean for Edgewater? Real quick. It means this, because I'll get some folks that will ask me, hey, when are we going to do a building fundraiser? When are we going to do that? And what I tell them is this, we already did a building fundraiser. Like, what? When? I'm here all the time. When did you do one? I say, 2.5 months ago, in a message, I just said, hey, this is what we're doing. We're building something over on our property for a high school, for office area. It's going to cost $625,000. If that's something you want to give to, please do. That's the Edgewater Christian Fellowship fundraiser, period. But what about the thermometer? You can add in a little bit, just, you know, right every once in a while, like, I want the thermometer. I'm like, listen, it's hot in the summer. I don't want to remind people how hot it is, so there's no thermometers here. We're not doing that. Here's the need. If God leads you, then give. It's just that simple. My philosophy, our philosophy, partly out of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, is we're not going to do stuff like that. No arm twisting. No manipulation. It's we trust God. He will lead his people to do what they're going to do. We'll let you know the need. That's up to you. Not every single week, dominating, talking about it. I'm not going to get up here and tell you how to spend less of your money so you can give it to me. I'm never going to do that. Listen, if you guys would just take one shower a week, make sure it's on Sunday, we could save enough money that each of you could give us $5 a month. If you guys would just brush your teeth once a day instead of twice a day, you give us $1 a year. I know that went over some head. They're like, you can brush your teeth twice? Really? Man. I'm not going to do stuff like that. And I'm not saying, I'm not criticizing other people or other churches. I'm just saying Edgewater Christian Fellowship philosophy, not saying doctrine. Our philosophy is we don't do that. We trust God to move on his people. And they're going to give in their heart as God shows them. And they're going to be cheerful then when they give. When they give. It won't be out of necessity, arm twisting, grudgingly. It's simple. If you want to give, do. If you don't, no problem. No problem. So finally, why do we give? A couple of reasons. I could go on this. Why do we give? Number one, it's this. God wants to raise up kids. God doesn't want to raise funds. He wants to raise kids. That's ultimately what God's about. He wants to raise godly kids. So God's not broke. Fundamentally, you and I are broke. We are broken, and one of the mechanisms by which God fixes us is when we learn to let go of the things that we have and say, they're yours, God. And giving demonstrates that. Because we're broke. If you have kids, you know this. The first words kids learn after mommy and daddy, after the race of mommy and daddy, who's it going to be first, mom or dad? Who do they love more? After that race, the next words they learn, no, mine. Right? And that's why when preachers start talking about giving, most people's response is this, no, mine. It's the same. God says, I want to raise you up a little bit more. I want to make you mature. And giving is one of the ways that you demonstrate that you know everything is mine, and I'm loaning it to you. So fundamentally, it's to raise us up. It also demonstrates you get God's grace. We looked at that last week. Chapter 8, verse 1 starts out with this. Moreover, brethren, we do you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Paul begins the longest section of the New Testament on giving by saying it's about God's grace. You demonstrate you get God's grace by giving. after all you've done for me, after everything you've given to me, how can I not respond with giving some of it back to you? You demonstrate it. We give because the Bible says this. It's the one time we're called to test God. Did you know that? We're never to test God. We don't test God on things. But God says, I want you to test me here. Let me just read this for you for time. It's Malachi chapter 3. The only time Christians are called to test God. And it comes to giving. Malachi 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. And now you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So, here's a cure. Verse 10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And test me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you shall not have room enough to receive it. And verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Test me, God says. Test me on this. See if I don't open the storehouses of heaven because I'm wealthy and pour out on you a blessing. And secondly, I'll rebuke the devourer. Who's that speaking of? Satan. I'm going to rebuke him. Test me, it says. So why do we give? Raises us up. It raises up godly kids. It demonstrates we get God's grace. It's a place that we can actually test God. And finally, I'll conclude with this one. It's getting warm. I could go on this, and I won't. One last one. Giving is godlike. Do you know that? Giving is godlike. Acts 20, verse 35, it's quoting Jesus, and Jesus says this. It is more blessed, that word blessed means happy. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So Jesus says this, and he knew about giving. He gave it all. It is more blessed. You will receive more joy and happiness in giving to somebody than getting what you want. Do you know that? I love when science finally catches up to the Bible. Right? This was written 2,000 years ago, and I've got a couple of studies. I just read a new one yesterday. But my favorite is from the National Institute of Health. That's a major organization in the United States. Two neuroscientists, a guy named Jorge Mall and Jordan Grafman. These guys are smart guys. They found by studying the brain that when we give, the part of the brain that lights up, you know what it is? It's the pleasure center of the brain. The same part that lights up when you have sex or when you eat something really, really good. You go get a caramel macchiato blizzard at Dairy Queen. Oh, it's the same thing that lights up. When we give, that's what happens. Now, here's what perplexes me. If you believe in evolution, how'd that ever evolve? Because you know what evolution is? It's all about me. In fact, there's a book by the leading atheist evolution guy. It's called The Selfish Gene. It's all about me passing on my genes. That is ultimately what's important. It's a selfish gene. It's all about me. So gorillas, when there's a new silverback gorilla, when he takes over whatever that is, that group of monkeys or gorillas, I guess it'd be gorillas, when he takes them over, you know the first thing he does? He grabs the skulls of his predecessor's babies and crushes them. It's my gene. Don't waste any energy on those. A lion does the same thing. When a new lion takes over the pack, the pride, the first thing he does is he chases down those little lion cubs and kills them. Because it's selfish. It's all about me. So my question is, how in the world did this thing evolve? It didn't. The Bible says this. We are created in the image of God. The Imago Dei. Genesis chapter 1. Let us create man in our image. The Imago Dei. And God's a giver. Do you know that? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, what? His only begotten son, his most precious possession, he gave it. So God's a giver. And when we give, the Bible says not only is he going to bring you unbelievable joy, but you begin to demonstrate the imago Dei, that there's that spark in you. You're representing the imago Dei, that I created you in my image because you're giving. Now, my son Elijah gets this. I'll use this because it just happened this morning. He's not old enough yet to have got to just the no mind stage yet. He's still got the tinge of that, yeah, it's great to give. So we're eating pancakes this morning. 3-berry pancakes. Yummy. And I'm sitting there and I'm eating mine, and Elijah John loves to do this. He loves to grab a piece of his pancake and then he'll like put it in his mouth and then he'll look at me and he'll smile and he'll go put it in my mouth. Now the problem with that is quite often it comes with a hanger from his nose. Or some saliva. So it's more. It's moistened. Yeah. So what I used to do is this. I'd be like, no, Elijah, you have that one. And when I do that, he'd like get all sad. Now I'm like, I don't care. I'll eat that, man. It's not going to hurt me. I gulp it down. And when I do that, he gets so excited. And he just goes, ooh, and then gets another one, does the same thing over. So if I get sick, you know why. But he gets it. There's joy in sharing and giving. Learn. Learn the joy of giving. It's a joy. You don't have to do it grudgingly or out of necessity. In fact, God doesn't want you to give then. Instead, let God search your heart. And when he puts something on it, give cheerfully. I'm able to give. Praise God. I've got enough to be able to give. Many people don't. And in conclusion, I want to say this. I think the reason why in 4 years I haven't had to do a message on giving is because you guys get it. Like, I am overwhelmed at how generous you guys are. We've never had lax. We've never had to do things where we say, well, we're out of, you know, we can't do this. We can't do what God's leading us, because you guys just respond. And I'll tell you what, I feel so blessed to be a part of this church, to be with you guys. I think this is the greatest church that meets at RCC. No, I think this is the best church ever. And I'm just thrilled to be with you guys, and your generosity has just been overwhelming for 4 years. So thank you. Keep it up. There's eternal rewards for you. Eternal rewards. On top of that, man, we demonstrate God. That imago Dei. It demonstrates we get grace. It grows us up into maturity. It's all those things as well. And you can test God on this one. He says, do it. Test me. And so, Lord, I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you, Lord, that we have exceedingly, abundantly, more than we could ask or think when it comes to finances here. I pray, Lord, that we'd never give out of a grudging necessity, but Lord, that we would allow you to search our hearts. That we would allow you to make us compassionate upon the needs of others. And that would cause in us the cheerful giving, because we've got enough. We already have enough. We can spare that. So make us those kind of givers, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done here at Edgewater. Thank you for the generosity of so many here. Bless them. Lord, may they have tested you and found you to be faithful. Bless them, we pray. Thank you. Go with us, we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.